The preacher must apply his teaching. Yes, of course, we all agree. We all have the heading application in our notes, but Spurgeon advised his students to vary the times they tackled the sinner, sometimes doing it at the very start of the sermon. Why not make it the opening remarks, before he got time to get his boiled sweet unwrapped and safely popped into his mouth? The sinner knows what's coming towards the end, is waiting for it, and gets his armour fastened in good time. Spurgeon reminds us that we need to catch the sinner unawares, pierce him before he has a chance to fasten his defences. Very little common sense is spent over this matter. Under certain ministries, there's a set time for speaking to sinners, and this comes as regularly as the hour of noon. A few crumbs of the feast are thrown to the dogs under the table at the close of the discourse, and they treat your crumbs as you treat them, namely with courteous indifference. Why should the warning word be always at the hinder end of the discourse, when hearers are most likely to be weary? Why give men notice to buckle on their harness so as to be prepared to repel our attack? When their interest is excited, and they are least upon the defensive, then let fly a shaft at the careless, and it will frequently be more effectual than a whole flight of arrows shot against them at a time when they are thoroughly encased in armour of proof, that is, a cast-iron protection. Surprise is a great element in gaining attention and fixing a remark upon the memory, and times for addressing the careless should be chosen with an eye to that fact. Do not close a single sermon without addressing the ungodly, but at the same time, set yourself seasons for a determined and continuous assault upon them, and proceed with all your soul to the conflict. On such occasions, aim distinctly at immediate conversions. I go further. The whole sermon should be an appeal. An appeal should not be just an aspect of the sermon. The whole point of preaching, as far as it concerns men, is to both confront and appeal to the hearers, to touch them and move them, both saints and sinners. Appeal and application. Application is appeal. Lloyd-Jones, you must apply the message, that is the word, the gospel, as you go along. This again shows that you are not lecturing, that you are not dealing with an abstract or academic or theoretical matter, but that this is a living matter which is of real concern to the people in the whole of their life and being. So you must keep on applying what you are saying. Then, to make absolutely certain of this, when you have entered the reasoning and the argument, and arrived at this climax, you apply it all again. And this takes us back to where we started. But before I draw my book to a conclusion, I want to turn to two preachers and writers who have a great deal to teach us on these issues. Two testimonies, J.C. Ryle and C.H. Spurgeon. As I said, before I draw my book to a conclusion, I want to turn to the two preachers and writers I find it most easy to listen to, namely J.C. Ryle and C.H. Spurgeon. I say listen to because, although both men are long dead, they, able-like, still speak. As I read what they wrote to me, at least they actually speak or preach with a living voice. I am not going back on what I said about writing and preaching. In fact, these two men support what I tried to set out. They did not preach as they wrote. They wrote as they preached. And how?